All right, take your Bibles and turn to, you guessed it, 2 Samuel. We're almost through 2 Samuel, though. That's exciting. I had a young man tell me this week, I was talking to him about the Lord, and I had a young man tell me this week that don't you think that the things that you do and the things that you talk about in the Bible, don't you think that that's all a little far-fetched? And I said maybe. It might be far-fetched, but it's real. And if you think about it, what God does and the things that He does truly is far away from what we conceive. I mean, let's face it. So I said, yeah, it's a little far-fetched, I agree. But then he said this, and I got a little irritated. He said, don't you think that it's all just a fairy tale? And I said, well, I don't believe in fairies. But I do believe in God. And I said, I believe every word that's in that Bible, and I feel bad that you don't. And understand this, the one part of this Bible that's very, very true and very scary to you, at least it ought to be, is the fact that hell is very real. And if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to go there, and it ain't going to be no nursery rhyme when you get there. I talked to him for a little bit. He got mad at me and walked away. But understand this, I can't stand it when people don't believe what we're doing is real. And let me tell you something, that is throughout. Listen, I'll get to this in 1 second. Don't you for 1 minute stop and think, well, you know what? What we're doing isn't worth anything. What we're doing is not real. What we're doing is not true. Who we believe in is not real. Let me tell you something. There's going to be a day that He returns. And He's going to be in the clouds, and He's going to call us up. And when we go up, you're going to believe how real He is then. And I'm going to tell you right now, I get a little sick and tired of the world today and their philosophy that what we're doing is not real and what we're doing is not right. We're doing it because it's comfortable. I got to be honest with you, being a Christian has never been comfortable. Being a Christian lets me know how much of a sinner I am. And I'm going to tell you right now, in this world, they're going to try to get you to believe that what they've got is very real because they can touch it. You know what? I'd rather have something that's real that I can't touch. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'd rather go up to heaven saying, Jesus Christ, I couldn't see you, but I sure did believe in you. Praise the Lord. All right, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel. We're going to look at verse 21, or chapter 21. And we are going to, this next week, I'm going to take a break from the kings next week, and we're going to talk about the giants. Now, I'm going to get into this just a little bit this morning, kind of scratch the surface. We're going to kind of move through them. I hope we get through them. We'll see about that. I have been known to stay a while on one thing. But I'm going to try to get through. Yes, sir. What's his name? Alan? Where are you at, Brother Carl? What, Brother Alan needs a... Alan needs a kidney? Alan McDaniel. Needs a kidney. Write that down. Write that down. Yes, sir. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As you're turning to chapter 21, next week, as I was saying, we're going to talk about the giants. We're going to get into Genesis and things of that nature. We're going to show, I tell you what, turn to Genesis right now. Let me give you a little bit of a preview. Look at chapter 6. I'm just going to get a little bit of preview of what we're going to do next week. By the way, the giants were really real. They really did exist. This isn't a fairy tale like we're just talking about this morning. The giants really did exist. David really did beat a man over 10 foot tall with a slingshot. They really did exist. And we're going to talk about them a little bit this morning. David ended up having to fight some more of them. But I want to show you what, in these verses, okay? And I will not take time to go over them now, but I just want to show you what they are. If you look at chapter 6, verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, I'm not going to take the time to teach this right now, but understand, the sons of God in this passage are talking about angels that have fallen. And we'll get to this a little. We'll get to this next week. I think I can get it all in one Sunday school lesson. The sons of God were fallen angels. They saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Not men will live to be 120, but you're going to have 120 years. And Noah did, by the way, preach the gospel for 120 years, and nobody got saved. You know how I know that? Because only eight got on the boat. Okay? Very, very simple. Okay? Only eight folks got on the boat. Noah preached for 8 years. Preach of righteousness. And nobody else got on the boat but the eight. So nobody else got saved. Now look at what it says. There were giants in the earth in those days. Those are the children of the fallen angels. Now understand, angels are not giants. Angels look like us. Men, by the way, not women. Not one woman angel. You'll never find, I don't care where you go in the scripture, because this is our authority for teaching this. Don't you grab Dr. Phil's book and talk about angels with wings. Angels didn't even have wings. There's not one instance in the scripture where an angel has wings. Cherubims and seraphims, they have wings, but neither one of them have just two. Study your Bible. I know all of you are thinking, wait a minute, I was led to believe that angels were women. No, there's not one female angel anywhere in the scripture. Never, not one. They're all men. Wrap your head around that. Not one. I've studied this very extensively, by the way, and I had a great time. I taught it in the Institute for a couple years. I love this, okay? Look at what it says. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Okay? And I will show you the timeline on this, but just suffice it to say, there were giants before the flood, and I'll show you this next verse. There were giants before the flood. There were also giants after the flood. Okay? Giants can perish. They can die. They did it a lot. Okay? Angels, the fallen angels, cannot perish. Okay? Angels can never die, and I'll show you that scripture too. Okay? Angels can never die. The giants, their children, can die. Now watch. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Okay, this is chapter 6, verse 5. Okay, this is a time in history where the fallen angels, and by the way, there was loads of them. It wasn't just a few. There were loads of fallen angels. You couldn't number them, okay? Now, the fallen angels that came down to earth and saw the daughters, they were instructed to do this. They were instructed to do this by the devil. Why? Because the devil knows the Bible too. And this has been forever settled in heaven. It wasn't like they just got piece by piece by piece. The Bible always has been. The Word of God always has been, okay? Now, understand this. The giants that came from this earth, the giants that were there, the giants that were made by the fallen angels coming into the daughters of men. These evil, wicked creatures, which were evil and wicked, by the way, oh, they may not have looked it, they might not have acted it, but they were. Evil and wicked creatures that took these, they were desperately trying to snuff out that promised seed in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, that promised seed that was to come, which is Jesus Christ. They were trying desperately to get that to go away, the chance to go away. And by the way, it was very close to being successful. Very close to being successful. You say, well, Brother Dave, how do you know that? Well, God instructed Noah to build an ark. And when Noah gathered up all the people that were righteous, all the people that were saved, when he gathered all those people up, only eight got in. That's pretty good, taking the entirety of the population of earth and turning everybody but eight against Christ. He almost succeeded, the devil. But he didn't succeed, did he? There was a man named Noah. And isn't that awesome that there was a man named Noah? So anyways, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into that tomorrow. I just feel compelled to teach that, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow. But suffice it to say right now, we're 2 Samuel chapter 21. David, 2 Samuel chapter 21, David is taking back the country. We talked about that last week. He's in the process of taking back the country. They go through a few things here, but I want to start out in verse 15 of 21. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. David's getting older, okay? David's getting to an age where he knew he was supposed to be in the battle, and glory to God, this old man's out there fighting this war. David never waxed faint before. David's getting older, okay? And by the way, he doesn't last real long past this. Okay, David waxes faint here in this battle against the Philistines. And in verse 16, look at verse 16. Now remember, who did David slay that pretty much brought David to prominence in the country? Goliath. Okay, now these next verses are really cool. I like this next part, and that's why I wanted to start here. If you look at verse 16, this fellow named Ishbibinab, say that 10 times fast, and Ishbibinab, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, and being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. They're still mad. Wouldn't you be? Hey, listen, I don't care how long it's been. David slew Goliath, the champion of the Philistines. Cut off his head with his own sword. There's not too much more that you can do to embarrass your opponent. Honestly, this fella, David was a boy, okay? David slew the giant. Oh, of course, the Lord slew the giant. Please don't misread me. I know this, that the Lord did all this. But David, with a slingshot, slew the giant, then goes up to the giant and takes his sword, not David's sword. David didn't have a sword. Pulled his sword out of his sheath and chopped off his head with his own sword and held up his head. And then the Philistines ran, and Israel discomfited them, okay? But David defeated this great champion. This type of slight against a family is not soon forgotten. Ishbibinab, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, and being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. And I want you to notice something. I want you to think about this. And I couldn't help it. I laughed here. Remember back in Genesis, or I'm sorry. Remember back when David in 1 Samuel is slaying the giant. Okay, you remember the scene there? There's this great valley between the two armies. Okay, and I believe it was 40 days that this giant had come out and said, come on, fight me, send a man, and I'll tear him up, okay? Who is your God? Who is blah, blah, blah? And the people in Israel just sat there. Nobody willing, even Saul, willing to go and face the giant. Nobody, okay? Now, the reason I want you to think about this is this. David finally said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to stand against our Lord? I love that verse, by the way. Who is this guy? You know, God is greater. I want you to think about this in your life. What can possibly come in your life that you can't lick? Huh? Hey, listen, do you have a 10-foot giant staring you down? You might. You tell me you can't beat that giant? Don't stand on the other side of the valley and wait. Go forth and fight. Let's take God with you. So David takes God with him. Go get 5 smooth stones, and you'll find out why he's got 5 smooth stones here in just a minute. He takes 5 smooth stones. By the way, it only took one. He takes that slingshot, whips it around, and thunks Goliath right in the head. Then Israel marched forward. Why? Because one was willing to stand and fight. By the way, not only was one willing to stand and fight, one was willing to take the battle and win it. I want to show you something here. Don't go into battle with the thought of, I just don't want to lose. go into battle with, I'm going to win. I'm going to win what's facing me. I'm going to win what's coming up against me. I don't care how big the enemy is. I'm going to win it. Because I'm going to tell you, the attitude of not losing is going to get you an attitude of loss. Don't go in, well, I think I'm going to try. Hopefully the Lord comes with me. No, say, God, should I go into this battle? He's going to say yes most of the time when it's a battle for right. Don't think God's not going to go with you. A lot of times when we're battling for right, we pray and pray and pray. There's nothing wrong with prayer. Please understand me, you need to be praying. But if you're going for right, some things you don't have to pray about. God has commanded you to do right. He's already gave you the marching orders to do right. You say you got a battle against smoking cigarettes. I don't know one smoker that doesn't want to stop smoking. Not one. Every one of them wants to stop smoking. It's just as difficult. I know that. I never smoked in my life, glory to God. But I know people that have, and it's very difficult. That's a giant in people's lives that they have to get over. Now, I understand that. But don't think you can't win. You can win. You can win the battle against that. You can win the battle against that thing, that sin that does so easily beset you. And understand this. This is what I wanted to show you. Who wanted to fight the giant before David came? Oh boy, that's a good answer. Smart crowd. Man, I must be doing a good job. Nobody wanted to fight the giant before David came. But then there was one. There was one fella, one person that decided, you know what? If God be with me, who in the world could be against me? Who is this? What is this battle standing in front of me that God can overcome? Who slew Ishbibinab? Is David the only one capable of a giant slaying? He was for the first one, only because he was the only one willing. But now the whole crowd has seen that a giant can be slain. Now the whole crowd has seen, well, that battle can be won. That is something we can get through. That is something we can win. Now Abishai stands up and said, David, I saw God do it through you. Now I'm going to take a shot at it. David didn't have to anymore because he knows now that he has shown that God is faithful. He has shown that God will win the battle. He has shown that the giant can be defeated. He has proven God. Why should you cling to the testimonies of the people of God? Because someday you may need to use them yourself. I want you to hear this today. I've had to fight battles in my life. I know that God has brought those battles into my life specifically because eventually I'm going to have somebody else that comes along that also has that very same battle. There's going to be a day when you meet somebody that faces the battles that you face. And if you go out and lick that giant that's in front, you can tell them, oh, let me tell you something. Not only will God give you the victory, he'll also give you the sword. Not only will God give you the victory, he'll also give you the head of that giant. And you can take that head of that giant and hold it up, and that way the rest of that battle all flees. Think about that for a minute. Goliath was the champion of their army. The champion. He was the one guy. If you're going to send somebody out, this is the fellow you send. Over 10 foot tall. Whatever a cubit is, it's supposed to 18 and whatever. I've seen so many different numbers on a cubit. Suffice it to say, he's large, and David is not. Everybody else behind the giant was less of a battle than the giant. Amen? The giant was the biggest battle. Everybody else in the battle was less significant. Everybody else in the battle was smaller. Everybody else in the battle was less tested in war. Everybody else in the battle was not somebody that could stand up. But this giant, if you can lick him, every other battle will flee. Now think about this for a minute. If you're willing to stand up and fight a battle that nobody else is willing to stand up and fight for, and this may be, by the way, every single person has a battle in their life right now that's big. Everybody does. And you may not think it's big in for you to fight that battle, but everybody's battle is big in their eyes, and it rightfully so. Because God only gives you the battle that you can defeat. Your battle may not be as large as somebody else's battle. It may be different than somebody else's battle. Don't be ashamed of having a battle that you're having a hard time with that Brother Tom wouldn't have a hard time with. It's okay. It's your battle. God gave you your battle. God gave you your giant. And don't think for one minute that God didn't bring this giant along. He brought this giant along to show the people of Israel, I am God. I will take a stone and a boy with no armor on, and I'll kill this giant. Now, if there's one willing to fight, think about this now. One willing to fight led the Israelites in the charge. Are you willing to fight? Because I'm going to tell you, there's more battles coming up. There's more giants coming. There's more things coming in your life. And by the way, I want you to notice, this is David's, another giant for David. Another giant for Israel. Ishbi-Benob was another giant that's in David's life that almost killed him. But because David was willing to stand, there's a fellow there to help him now. Think about this. This is good stuff. Now there's a fellow there to help him with his giant. Hey, listen. I've defeated some giants in my life. Not a lot, but I've defeated some giants in my life. And I know now that if Brian's going through a giant-type battle and he falls to the wayside, now I can help him in his giant battle. Because I've fought some giants. And if you fought some giants, you can help some folks in a giant battle. Isn't that what we're supposed to do as Christians anyhow? So here's David getting ready to pass out. David's getting ready to go to the wayside here. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him. You go back to Goliath. Hey, this Abishai would not have fought. He would not. Because he didn't see any of these giants getting licked yet. How is it possible? How's it possible that a man this tall, it could have been this tall right here to the floor, this tall. How is it possible to defeat that man? His spear alone weighs 3-4 times as much as David does. How's it possible? But did David worry about the possibilities? No, nothing is impossible with God. David just went forth and fought, but he showed the people nothing is impossible with God. Now he's got another person believing that. Are you catching on what I'm trying to teach you this morning? Look at Ishbi-Benob stands there. Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Hey, it can be done, and it was done. Not by David, but Abishai did. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. They knew who was in charge, and they knew who God was working through, and they knew it was time for David to retire to the back because he's just getting old. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibekai, the Hushathite, how's that? Slew Saph. Look at this now. Slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. Wait a minute. Who's Sibekai? He's another man. He's witnessed two giants being slain. He says, hey, listen, I can do it. So you must understand something. The battles that you face and the battles that you win and the victories that you claim are not just for you. You must understand this. Christian, if you win a battle, don't be afraid to tell the people, listen, God has wrought this battle through me. This kind lady this morning talking about Jody, listen, that was a prayer victory for Bethel Baptist Church. I hope you understand that. That's a prayer victory that this lady's willing to tell us that, listen, we have a victory for this lady in the lung problems, that God has wrought a victory, even down in Punta Gorda, Florida, by the way. From here, whatever. Give us a geography lesson, Miss Andy. You must understand something. Why did you move here? I'll let that go. But if we don't hear about the testimonies of people winning battles, we may be afraid to fight. David slew that giant in front of everybody. And because of that, now you've got two men that have been willing to stand up to giants too. Do you see how people winning victories can help other people win victories? See, God is fantastically, wonderfully almighty and great. God has done so much through our lives that the vast majority of the time we don't even see. We don't see the little victories that God gives us. And because we're unwilling to claim the little victories that God gives us, I tell you, this is something that Brother Kula just taught me just in the last few years. And I'll blame him, whatever. He'll take it. But I started to be with him a little bit and started to notice how he saw the little things, the little victories that God gives along the way. And I started to try to notice them myself. A little victory is stepping out when you didn't want it to rain and it stops raining. A little victory for, I hope that we can have school today and no snow. a little victory as this bill got paid, or I got enough money to pay this bill before the bill came. A little victory as, man, I feel pretty good today. A little victory as the meatloaf didn't have to come to my mouth. Little victories that come into my life now, I want to see them as God working. But then there's also big victories. Big victories. I'm going to tell you, when Brother Mike Sells gets well, and he will get well, I believe he's going to get well. And I believe it's time that we take very seriously Brother Mike Sells and our preacher. I believe it's time for us to fast a little. I believe it's time for us to give up a little bit more of our time in prayer. Not that we haven't taken it seriously. I believe we have. But I believe it's time to spend a day in fasting for Brother Mike and our preacher. So when his victory happens, and if you don't think that's a giant, he's gone through five things in 1 year that would put, each one of them would put most people down. But this man's fighting through them. And I'm not holding Brother Mike up as something special, although he is very much. He knows he's a sinner. He realizes that. But I'm telling you right now, when this man gets well and he comes and talks about his victory, how much easier is it going to be for the next person to fight the same battle? Two giants have been slain. Two different people. The country is starting to see it doesn't take a David to fight this battle. I can fight this battle. Not just a preacher, not just a deacon, not just somebody that's along the way. I'm talking about everybody can fight this battle. Look what it says. Verse 19. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jairah, whatever that is, praise the Lord, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. I just wonder if he got his brother's staff. I'll take these people out. Is this the same man? I'm just asking, is this Abishai? I don't think that Elhanan is Abishai. I don't think Elhanan is Sibbekai. I think Elhanan is Elhanan. And this is a third different person now. Four different people have slain giants because one man decided I can beat one. I'm just trying to get you to see the process that God is using. Why would God list all this for us? Huh? Look at this. There was again a battle with Elhanan, the son of Jairorgeam, Georgie, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And verse 20, and there was yet a battle in Gath. Now we're getting home. Think about this for a minute. Now we're at hometown. This is where these giants came from. This is their hometown. And there where was a man of great stature that had on every hand six fingers and on every foot six toes. He could hitchhike well. 24 in number. And he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan. This is another guy. They didn't say, go get Elhanan. They didn't say, go get Sibbekai. They said, I can do it. You got to understand something. You don't need the preacher to pray to get your prayers answered. I'm just trying to help you think this morning. You may have a giant. Why can't you fight? Oh, I want you to have the preachers pray. I want you to be anointed with oil if you need it. I want you to come to the altar. I want you to request prayer. I want you to have all those things. But understand this, there's no reason that you can't step up with a slingshot and a stone and knock your giant out. I think that we should realize that God wants to work through you just like he wants to work through everybody else. He desires to have you slay giants too. He desires to have you somebody that's willing to stand up as a soldier for him and knock out your giant. But if you don't stand up, a lot of folks around you are going to be discouraged. I just want to ask, and this is just my thinking. What if David doesn't fight? Now, I want you to think with me. What if David doesn't fight? What if David doesn't stand up to his giant? You can win this morning. I hope you understand that. You can win this morning. You can do it. God working through, God smote the giant. God can smite your giant. Are you willing to take that step and say, God, I believe you can. Let's go. Because if you don't, I wonder what happens to Israel. I wonder if Israel becomes enslaved to the Philistines. I wonder if people around you that have giants in their lives to kill, I wonder, Brian, if the people around you that have giants in their lives, if you don't slay yours, I wonder if they'll go forward. Or I wonder if they'll just peel back. Hey, listen, you talk Christianity, but maybe it's just a fairy tale. Oh, you talk Christianity, but really, are you willing to go out and show that God is real? Are you willing? David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who's going to go out and defy God to all our people? Who is this? Come on, let's go. I'm sick of this. Saul, well, take my armor. I don't need armor. I've got God. And he goes out there. Let me tell you, it wasn't even a thought to David he was going to fail. I guarantee never even crossed that young man's mind. He had already licked a bear. He had already licked a lion, grabbed him by the beard with his bare hand and choked him out. Well, God did it. I know that. I'm well aware of that. But David wasn't afraid to fight. And because he had that courage of battling smaller battles, a lion and a bear, smaller battle, but not a very big step down, amen. But he fought that battle. But David had fought battles his entire life. Now he comes to this giant. Let me tell you something. Don't shy away from the small battles along the way, Christian. Don't sweep them under the rug. Well, that's no big deal. No, you win those battles. Hey, claim victory for God. All the way along the way, claim victory for God. Small victory, amen. But a victory nonetheless. Claim that victory because now you got that victory, you get a bigger one. And you must understand something. It gave the people around him so much courage to fight that when it came time and another one defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. I don't care how many fingers and toes he had. He was still slain. Because one man proved that God could. Other men drew courage from him, and they did as well. I want you to notice now. They didn't have a specified giant killer anymore. Now listen. I want to point this out. We're almost done. David was the initial giant slayer. He killed Goliath. If you look, this first battle, I want you to notice this now. Go back to Ishbi-Benob. Ishbi-Benob was fighting with who at first? Now wait a minute now. David may have been called on. Hey, listen, there's another giant. Look at that thing. David! David! Woohoo! David! This is your department. This is your department. This time David fought the giant and started to faint. Now hold on to yourself. David started to faint a little bit. Now God hasn't lost his power. God could have slew the giant through David being an old man, no matter, just like he did with a lad. But he wanted somebody else to step up. He wanted to see, is there anyone else? Is there anyone else that'll trust me? Is there anyone else that'll stand up to this giant just as David? Oh, David was your giant killer. I understand that. David was the one who was willing to stand up, and David was willing to stand up in his old age to this giant too. And it's your old age, you're going to find giants that us youngins don't have yet. I know that. I'm well aware of that. You face issues that the youngins don't face. But we'll get there. And when I get there, you had better stand up to your giants. Because if you don't stand up to your giants, what kind of courage is this young preacher going to have? If there wasn't an old man like Dr. Hiles, an old man like Dr. Skyver, an old man like Dr. Thompson that was willing to stand up to the giants of his day, willing to stand up against the King James naysayers, what am I going to do? Oh, I know the battles are coming. I hope they do. Because this preacher has stood on the Bible ever since he was a 22-year-old wet behind the ear preacher. Now I'm just 18 years later, still wet behind the ears. Can't get them things to dry out. But God bless your heart. But understand this. If I didn't have people in front of me that slew the giants, what kind of courage would I have? But now I've seen it. I've seen the men battle. I too have courage. And when I get through this battle, this young man better have courage. When I get through this battle, that young man better have courage. The preachers that are younger than me better have courage, because there's going to be a day when I might start to faint in the battle. And I'm going to need a young man to come and hold me up. This young man came and slew David's giant. David was the one battling him. But not only David can battle. Everybody can. Oh, they sent in Babe Ruth to hit the homer. But Babe Ruth could no longer make it around all four bases. So they sent somebody behind him. And that man knocked it out of the park. And then you see, and I love this, it wasn't the same man that they called the next time. Boy, you got to hold on to that. It wasn't the same man that they called the next time to battle the next giant. Somebody else stepped up. And then when that next man stepped up, you know, the other guy says, well, I can do this. And then he stepped up. And then another one stepped up. And let me tell you something, it's no different in the Christian life. You ever seen a bunch of kids at the top? I'll never forget, and I'm all done. We used to go to the quarry at where I used to live. And there were cliffs, and I won't tell you how high they were. They're crazy, stupid high, okay? But we were all a bunch of guys standing there. You know how tough guys are, right? Standing at the edge of the cliff. You gonna do it? I don't know. Are you gonna do it? You do it, I'll do it. You ever been in a situation like that? You do it, I'll do it. One person jumps. And we all watch. Hey, he came up. It must be all right. And now everybody jumped. And then all of a sudden, listen to me now. It wasn't really that big a deal anymore. Can you defeat the giant that's in your life, showing the people around you that it's just really not that big a deal anymore? Is there things that you're fighting that other people may fight in the future? By the way, it was a lot of years between David's slaying of the giant and Abishai's slaying of the giant. David was a lad when he beat the first one. He was an old man now beating this one. A lot of years, a lot of battles. But they remembered David doing that. They remembered him defeating that giant. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to be the first one off so that you can show other people that you can do it? God can help you. God can take you through the battle and show other people that God's really not a fairy tale. God really is real. And he really will help you defeat the giant. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you.